Hey, welcome to Lifehouse Podcast. We're so glad that you're with us. We hope that you enjoy this message about Jesus and his love for you. I pray it's a personal encouragement to you. So let's jump right in.
Well, today, church, I want to focus on two Bible characters that are not very much preached about. But I believe that in their story, there is lots of things that we can apply and learn from today. You know, their story brings us back to the very beginning and creation of everything. We go back to the beginning of humanity, back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam's and Eve's story unfolds. You see, in their story, we find echoes of our own experiences as sons, as daughters, as fathers and mothers. As we honor the mothers of and women of the house today, I want to reflect on Adam's and Eve's story, on their journey, and learn from their strength, from their resilience, and also unwavering love for their family and God. Are you ready, church? Yeah. You see, as with all the tales in human experience, the story of Adam and Eve is not without trials. It's not without tribulations. Their journey through the Garden of Eden is marked by joy, by sorrow, by triumph, and by adversity. Does that sound familiar to you? Well, if we look at our lives today, we definitely, all of us, will go through several stages of life. And this is why today we can relate to them so much. So God created them, He blessed them, gave them everything to the point where He would dwell with them in the Garden of Eden. Well, nothing has changed today. God has created you and me. He has blessed us with everything that we need. And His most desire is to dwell within you. Can I get an amen? You see, the 9 o'clock crowds, they were there. They were awake. They were all there. Man, you have no excuses. It's 11:42. So are you with me, church? Oh, that was better over there. Let me see over here. Are you ready? Good. Otherwise, I will have to start dropping my favorite words just to get you going. Come on, somebody. That's it. So we can go there. So you see, God has created us, giving us the exact same things as what He gave Adam and Eve. Nothing has changed. But then God gives them a rule. Let's read it out together in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. And it says this, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" You see, these words are not just simply a set of instructions, but they contain layers of significance that resonate throughout the ages, touching upon the essence of human existence and the divine relationships between humanity and God. And the first thing we notice in their story is that God gives them freedom. Freedom to go anywhere in the garden. Freedom to eat whatever they wanted. To be at the east, to be at the north, wherever. They were free. You see, nothing has changed because today God still wants you to be free. Can I get an amen to that? You see, God wants humanity to be free and nothing has changed. But God gives them one rule. And so God, in His infinite grace, grants Adam and Eve the freedom to partake of the abundance of the Garden of Eden. This reflects the fundamental goodness of God, who desires His creation to experience liberty and joy. And let me tell you this, if you feel bound and if you are not joyful, this is not God's plan for your life. Now, let me say that sometimes we do go through stuff. And of course, sometimes we are sad. Sometimes we don't feel like talking. We don't feel like going out. But that shouldn't be a dwelling place. Because God's plan for your life is to be free. Free in His presence. You see, our Creator doesn't bind us with chains. But instead, He sets us free to explore, to create, and to enjoy the blessings of life. As you can see, nothing has changed. The plan of God still remains the same. You know why that is? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Forevermore. However, He gives them one boundary. A single tree marked out as of limits. And I have always asked myself, but why? One tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. And after reflection and prayer and study, I believe that the tree of knowledge of good and evil symbolizes the choice between obedience and disobedience, between trusting in God's wisdom and seeking our own understanding. You see, the commandment not to eat from the tree carried a heavy consequence. We read earlier on that it said, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. You see here, the word death encompasses not only physical mortality, but also spiritual separation from God. It is a reminder that disobedience ruptures our intimate communion with the Creator, leading to spiritual desolation and separation. Look at around you. Look at the world in which we live. Every time I put on the news, it's only bad news. Very rarely we hear about good news. You open any page of any newspaper, you go through the web, and any info that you find, it's mostly negative. There are lots of people that are hurting, lots of people that are bleeding, lots of people that are not happy with their life. And I guess that the reason for all that, it's because we have been separated from God. Sometimes because people do things that they shouldn't, but sometimes because people just simply choose not to be in the presence of God. Lots of people out there are in that place. But the question I have for all of us today is, where do you live? In the Garden of Eden, so to say, before the presence of God? Or are you tending to maybe live more towards this side, separated from God, in isolation? Let me tell you that God's plan is not for you to be isolated. God's plan for you is to be in His presence. God's plan for you is to be blessed, is to be happy, is to have a future, is to have purpose. Because the answer to all of this is Jesus. Nothing has changed. But what has changed is humanity. Because they have walked away from the God that has created them. You see, the tree of knowledge presents a dilemma that resonates with us even today. It represents the desire to grasp the depth of existence and morality independently of God's guidance. In other words, it's a temptation that persists in our modern world, where humanity often seeks to define truth and morality according to its own standards without God. Yet, as we reflect on the lives of Adam and Eve and on this passage today. I don't want to just simply focus on the consequences of their disobedience, but I also want to focus on the hope and mercy that God gave them and showed them. Are you with me, church? You see, despite Adam and Eve's transgression, God did not abandon them. He clothed them, promising redemption and hope through the seed of the woman. In Genesis 3:21, we read this verse that says exactly what I just said. The Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Let me just pause for a second. You see, the verse says, God made. Let me tell you, church, that for any issue, God has made a solution for you to access. God has made the solution for you to be saved. God has made the solution for you to be healed. God has made the solution. Come on, somebody! God has made the solution for everything. You see, Adam, he ran. He was hiding. He was trying to find the solution himself by clothing himself with leaves. But God said, I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you real clothes. You see, God made the solution. Even though they had to go through the consequences of their choice. Even though they had to be expelled from the Garden of Eden, God did not reject them. God did not abandon them. But He gave them new clothing and He gave them a new purpose. And we'll come to that in a second. God's will is for us to never be exposed and naked, because God's solution is always better than our one. Humans will always try to come up with their own solutions and to cover for their shame and for their embarrassment. But God's solutions are always more efficient. The solution for sin is Jesus. The solution for loneliness is Jesus. The solution for everything that we need is Jesus. So when we look at Eve, we know and we realize that she was created as a companion, a partner to Adam, fashioned from his rib, signifying equality and unity. Let me tell you, church, nothing has changed. God's design for man and woman is still to be in unity and equal. And I'm dare to say that sometimes the world out there gets it wrong. God's intent is for you, woman, to be equal and to be together in unity. Men, God's design is to be equal and united with your wife. And everybody said, got a bit quiet all of a sudden. You got me worried there. You see, together they were entrusted with the stewardship of Eden. And yet, it was in the garden that Eve faced her most significant test. Let me open up another brackets on and brackets off, or brackets open, brackets closed, whatever you want to call it. You see, most of the time we attribute the sin to Eve. Are you with me? Everyone, oh, Eve, if you wouldn't have eaten the apple, blah, 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 blah. But in fact, Adam, he was in the coop as well. You see, we read in the previous verse in Genesis 2:16 that the Lord commanded the man. And sometimes we try to blame others for what we should be blamed ourselves. So let's make a deal. In marriage, in friendships, wherever we are together, it's never just one's fault. But it can be both's fault. Just like in this case. We might try to find solutions. We might try to blame others, but in reality, maybe we should just open our eyes and have a look at it and realize where we are at. Have I offended 70% or lost half of you already? Are you still with me? Well, this side was, I'm not too sure. While her decision to disobey God led to the expulsion from Eden, now watch this, it also gave humanity the gift of free will. Now let me pause quickly. Let me make it very clear that I'm not saying, or I'm not supporting disobedience. I'm not saying it's okay to disobey God because in the end He will fix it. But what I'm saying is that God's grace always overabounds. You see, Eve utilizes her free gift and makes a mistake, or her free will, should I say. God has no other choice than to send them away from the Garden of Eden as a punishment. But God does not abandon them. He gives them a new purpose. He gives them new clothing. And from being gardeners in Eden, they become the people that populate the earth. How many of you do Bible quizzes? Not many. Well, we can't go there then. Let me tell you another funny story, though. See, there was a woman that was looking out for a job and was trying to find, had done many applications and tried to do all sorts of things and tried to find a job, and she couldn't, till one day she found this ad that said that they were looking for help on a farm. And so she goes, well, I don't know, all right, I'll apply. So she applies, and, you know, a few days later, a farmer rings her up and says, hey, I got your application. Would you be okay to come across and have an interview? So they have an interview. They sit down. And the farmer looks at her and says, man, I'm not too sure if you have the experience. You know, he doesn't tell her, but he's thinking all these things. And at the end, he says, look, the only job I can give you is in the fruit picking. And she goes, yeah, okay. He goes, look, the only thing that I have is to help me in picking lemons. And the guy said, look, do you have any experience in all that? And the woman stops for a second and says, well, in fact, I do. Oh, she said, yeah, I was married and divorced 3 times. Well, didn't go well, that one. Genesis 3:20. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. You see, Eve's transformation from a figure of temptation to a symbol of hope and life. You know, sometimes we can just be bogged down on what Eve did without realizing what actually happened after Eve left the Garden of Eden. Sometimes in our own mind, we can be stuck in our past or stuck in all the things that we have done, and we are not able to look forward to what God has for us, because God can transform, God can forgive, and God will extend grace so that you and I have and receive a new future. And everybody said? You see, Eve marked the beginning of humanity. And you know, Eve's experience as a mother has not always been great, has not always been without trials. In fact, we know in Genesis 4 the tragic story of Cain and Abel, her sons. You know, Eve lost both of them. One got killed and the other one was sent into exile. And yet Eve continued to be steadfast. And yet Eve continued to be strong, to believe in the God that had created her. And yet we don't read anything negative about Eve, other than she loved God and she loved her family. And sometimes we can forget that. Sometimes we can forget and be stuck in our past instead of advancing into the future that God has for us. In hardship, we simply need to remind ourselves about all the promises of God. You see, maybe you find yourself today in a difficult situation because of what you have done, because of what you have said, because of some mistake that you have committed. But can I encourage you, church? Can I encourage you to remain steadfast, to remain obedient to the voice of God? Don't hide from God. You know, most of the time we tend to run. We tend to hide. But God wants you in His presence at any moment of time, because He wants to help you no matter what you have done. And I just want to conclude with this thought, with the remaining 4 minutes that I have, five max. And as the worship team comes, I just want to go a bit deep. Is it okay? I want you to see something extraordinary that we wouldn't pick it up if we don't dig into the story of Adam and Eve. You see, after Adam and Eve sinned, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Remember that? Few chapters later, we read in Genesis that Cain and Abel were offering sacrifices to the Lord, and they were trying to worship and thank Him on some stone altars that they had built. Now the question is, how did Cain and Abel know to build altars of stones and give sacrifices? Most probably it's because Adam and Eve taught them. And remember, parents, that your kids are watching. Remember that whatever you say or do, they will try to reproduce, to replicate. And I believe that the reason why Cain and Abel were sacrificing and were worshiping and thanking God, it's because of the example they had received from Adam and Eve. Are you with me? So God, though, did not take away their access to worship Him, despite the fact that He had sent them away. God did not take away the possibility for them to speak to Him and to come into His presence. What am I saying? That no matter where you are at, God has never taken away from you the access to go to Him, to pray, to worship, to tell Him how you feel, to seek help. He has left the door open for you. And in the Old Testament, we used to do it with the altars made of stone. But today, we can do it with the altars in our heart. Regardless of our actions, God never denies us the opportunity to worship, speak, and be in His presence. Building an altar of stones represented a deliberate action of devotion, symbolizing both coming into God's presence and worshiping Him, and reflecting a desire to connect with Him. So Adam went from hiding behind the trees, making his own solutions with fig trees and leaves, to building stone altars of stones to worship and praise God. You see, as we reflect on Adam's legacy today, and Eve's legacy, I want you to be encouraged and think at where you are at. Where is your altar? No matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, God wants you to be free. We don't often preach about Adam and Eve, but today I just really felt that their story would help us so much. A story of redemption, of love, of forgiveness, of a new future, of a new outcome, no matter where they have been.
We really hope this message inspired you. To find out more about us, head to our website at lifehouse.global.